This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 9th of January 2022. Today is the contesting edition of News West, and we have news of amateur radio contests coming up, including a new contest, and we have tips to help you prepare a portable station for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. It is, after all, only 10 weeks away. We've got a couple of club items that missed last week's deadline for Club Focus, but here they are this week. And today we also have a silent key announcement for someone not from Western Australia who has made a huge contribution to the Australian amateur radio contesting scene. News West is produced by WA Amateur Radio News, an independent amateur radio club based in Western Australia. We welcome your stories and your point of view. Contributions to News West are received by emails to newswest@vk6.net. To contest or not to contest? If you ask some amateurs, the question of contesting in amateur radio brings a binary answer. You're either into it or you're not. But that's not really the case, is it? If you somehow rated interest or participation in contesting among amateurs and tried to draw a graph, it would have an interesting shape, and if you added a timeline, the shape would change back and forth. For the sake of this discussion, let's talk about the amateur who hasn't done much, if anything, in the way of contesting and is maybe curious about having a go. We'll deliver the information to you in a plain brown paper wrapping, and you can listen to it in the privacy of your own shack. The first thing you need to know about contesting in amateur radio is that you can enter a contest using the most basic of equipment. You need a transceiver that covers the bands used in the contest, some means of powering it, and an antenna that works. And you need a means of logging your contacts. Paper logs have been phased out of most contests, and more contests are following suit, so you'll need a computer device of some sort. You could choose to keep a paper log, then translate that into logging software afterwards, but believe me, with just a little practice using logging software live in a contest, you'll not go down the path of paper logs and post-contest data entry ever. A few diehards may argue otherwise, but their paper log days are numbered. Those are the basics with which you can enter a contest. Everything else makes it easier and more comfortable, like a desk or a table, a comfortable chair, appropriate shelter and other enhancements such as a foot pedal for the push to talk, and appropriate lighting so that you can see all the controls on your radio. You can thank me later for that one. If you've never worked or watched an amateur radio contest or worked DX pile-ups, it would pay you to listen around to how these pile-ups are handled. When you call CQ and several stations answer, you have a pile-up and you need to deal with the stations one at a time and try not to lose the others. Try to find some DX pile-ups on the bands or listen to a busy contest and you'll see how it goes. Finally, don't kill yourself. Enter a contest category that suits you. Even if a contest runs for 24 hours, give yourself enough time for breaks and a bit of sleep. Or you may choose to work in a multi-operator station where you take turns at operating. Multi-op stations are often run by clubs and can be fun and educational at the same time. Contests aren't for everyone, but you'll never know whether or not they are for you if you don't give it a go.
Did you know that there's at least one amateur radio contest running on every weekend of the year? Some are local or regional by nature and tend to not be of concern for Aussie amateurs. However, there are contests that may be worth a shot if only you knew where and when they were on. So how would you find out? Ask that question out loud and some wet-looking fool in an ill-fitting superhero costume might jump out of nowhere and shout, "Contest Wizard!" Or not. Alan, VK4 Sierra November, isn't a wet-looking fool, neither wears an ill-fitting superhero costume. Well, at least not in public anyway. Alan is a seasoned contester and the manager of a couple of Aussie amateur radio contests. One of the things Alan does for the rest of us is to maintain an online calendar of amateur radio contests. We at News West consult this calendar regularly when we compile the contesting edition. The calendar tells you week by week or month by month which contests are on, and also provides a link to where you can find the contest rules. So where does Alan keep this calendar? Where does it hide? Just stoke up your browser and head on over to vk4sierranovember.com and hit the link to the contests.
Hello and Happy New Year. This is Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF Group. 2021 is behind us and we look forward to fresh challenges in this new year. Martin, VK6ZMS, has recently posted a listing of contests for this year and the first two off the rank are VHF and above. Ross Hull Memorial celebrates the life and inventiveness of Ross Hull, who, despite a short life, contributed greatly to amateur radio and communications technology generally. Members of the WAVHF group have participated over the years. In 1954, Rollo Everingham, VK6BO Silent Key, was the first VK6 to win outright. Not to be outdone, club founding member Wally VK6KZ won it 4 years in a row from 1981. Barry VK6ADI made it 7 wins for VK6 in 2011 and 2019. Listen out for some club members on air throughout January, and let's all submit logs. More VHF-UHF fun to be had later in the year, of course, and expect the WAVHF group to be playing its part. A little further ahead, in March, we invite you to participate in the commemoration of the 80th anniversary of the Avro Lancaster Heavy Bomber's first operational sorties. The Bull Creek Aviation Heritage Museum has one specimen, and the Australian War Memorial has the second example in VK. We successfully applied for a special event call sign VK80LAN, and together with GB80LAN in the UK and VE80LAN in Canada, our three sites will simultaneously commemorate the event. Look out for our QRZ.com webpage, VK80LAN, as well as the UK and Canadian pages. We will be maintaining a roster of stations wishing to use the call sign for a couple of days each, similar to the way that Stuart VK8NSB managed the centenary of the RAAF. Applications for roster places will be open on February the 1st for all bands and modes. Logs through Logbook of the World, QSL cards through Tim M0URX's OQSR service. Thanks for listening. Please have a safe and happy new year. You are always welcome at our activity days and general meetings. Details on the club website. 73, stay safe. Dennis, VK6AKR.
This is VK6ARN and you're listening to News West.
The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is an Aussie amateur radio contest which, although it's open to both home and portable stations, is primarily aimed at portable operation. If you go portable far enough away from the urban crush, the first thing you'll notice is how quiet the bands have become. You will have left the majority of the QR mic behind. So let's talk about what portable operation means and how you can operate portable. Firstly, portable, especially in the domestic appliances scene, meant something that could be carried about. There was some tax advantage, I think it was in the duty-free scene, where portable goods attracted less or no import duties when you brought it home with you from overseas. As a result of that, there were domestic electrical goods with handles on them, VCRs, transistor radios, even television sets. If they had a handle, they were portable. Portable in the amateur radio sense has a different meaning. In amateur radio, portable means that you're operating away from the station address. Portable operation can be a handheld radio or running HF on battery power in the shade of a tree. Some people make an extraordinary effort to set up a portable station to work a contest, such as the John Moyle. With a large multi-operator station, there could be, and in the past have been, tents, campers, caravans, gazebos and generators, and lighting. A very important part of your portable station is antennas, and especially if you haven't run a portable contest station before, these are the things you need to consider. Firstly, transceivers. Try to have a rig for HF and another one for VHF-UHF. Life works better that way. You can be working one and keeping an ear on the other one. Now, antennas, you could put up several HF antennas to cater for all bands. However, these days it's much less effort to use an antenna that will work all of the bands. You could use something like a G5RV or a doublet. If you make the doublet long enough, you can use it for 80 and 160 metres. The trick with VHF and UHF is to get a vertical antenna up high enough if you're working a location that's a bit out of town. You could erect some sort of a mast or simply throw a light rope up into a tree and haul the vertical as high as you can. You'll need to power those radios. If using batteries, consider how to keep them charged, be it with solar, a generator, or via the car's alternator, or a combination of these. Whatever works well is fine, but you do need to think about how to do it before you start the contest. Then you need to think about the nice things like shelter, things to sit on, tables, etc., somewhere to sleep, and how you'll be fed, and to be equipped for toileting and taking your rubbish home. If you're setting up in a bush or farm location, make sure that you have permission to be there, or at least make sure that you won't get caught. Safety is important. We'll still be in high fire risk times for the John Moyle, so we can't light cooking fires. If running a generator, make sure you clear the area of combustible material, especially on the exhaust side, and keep a watch on the Weather Bureau and local government reports. If the weather's very hot, there may be a harvesting and vehicle movement ban, and if you're in a bush setting or in the middle of a paddock, you won't be able to run a generator. So good luck with planning your portable station for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. It's a great opportunity to develop or hone your portable operations skills. The John Moyle Memorial Field Day in 2022 will be held over the weekend of the 19th and 20th of March and will run from UTC 0100 on the Saturday to 0059 on the Sunday. I don't know why they write it like that. We lose a minute each end. Think of all the points you can gain in those minutes.
Coming up next weekend, the 15th and 16th of January, is the summer VHF-UHF field days. These days provide VHF-UHF operators with a chance to go extramural to somewhere rural, preferably a high point somewhere, to see how many stations they can work, and the further away the better. The field days have separate sections for single and multiple operator stations. The duration of the field day is 24 hours, but there are also 8-hour sections for operators who may not be able to camp overnight. Most club stations prefer to operate for the full 24 hours. The field days also generate plenty of activity from home stations, so there's also a separate home station section. All contacts must be simplex. Contacts through repeaters or satellites are not allowed. There is plenty of FM activity, but one feature of the field days is a high level of SSB activity. It is possible to do very well with only a modest antenna if you pick a good hilltop. Another option, if your station is easily transportable, is to operate from more than one location during the contest period. You might do well to get organised with a bunch of interested people and space yourselves around at a respectable distance apart, and importantly, to be on air at the same time. That's next weekend, the 15th to the 16th of January, commencing at 0100 UTC for most of Australia and 0400 UTC for us here in VK6. That's a 12 noon start. Very civilised.
This message arrived from Peter, VK3, Quebec, India, on Wednesday via the Eastern Mountains District Radio Club mailing list. Peter said, "I'm sorry to inform everyone that Mike, VK3, Alpha Victor Victor, passed away this afternoon on Wednesday, January the 5th, after a long illness." Peter said he's spoken with Mike's wife, Tammy, and she has asked that all members of the Eastern Mountains District Radio Club understand that Mike held a particular fondness for his friends in the club. Funeral arrangements have yet to be made, but it's likely to be a private religious affair, and with COVID restrictions, when further details are available, I will notify the members. I'm sure that the wider amateur fraternity will miss Mike's particular skills, especially those contesters who have benefited from his logging programs over the last 20 years. And that's the end of Peter's message. Mike was the author of the VK Contest Logger software that is in widespread use in Australia. I didn't know Mike at all, however. I contacted him a couple of times over the years with questions about the VK Contest Logger, and he was always responsive and helpful. Vale, Mike, VK3, Alpha, Victor, Victor, Silent Key. The Fox Mike Hotel Portable Operations Challenge, that hardly anyone supported, well, it's now open source. The steering committee determined that after 2 years of offering the Portable Operations Challenge with about 18 entrants each year, that it couldn't continue to put the resources into it. However, the steering committee continues to have faith in the concepts and ideas embodied in the POC as a means to change amateur radio contesting for the betterment of all. Any group is welcome to take the approach, methods and rules and use them as is or with changes as desired. The Portable Operations Challenge should be retained, although the endorsing body might add their brand, as was the case with using this website's brand, Fox Mike Hotel. The theory and operationalization of the Portable Operations Challenge is detailed in the article by Frank K4FMH in the National Contesting Journal in the September-October issue 2021. The National Contesting Journal is free to all ARRL members. We note that the Radio Amateurs of Canada organisation already has created a Portable Operations Challenge under that very title. Good contacts and 7-3 to everyone who participated in the Fox Mike Hotel Portable Operations Challenge in 2020 and 21. And that's from Frank K. for Fox Mike Hotel, and the website is Fox Mike Hotel, the words, not the phonetics, foxmikehotel.com/challenge. Now, more locally, the Peel Amateur Radio Group has just announced the date for the PARG Swap Meet 2022. It's on Saturday, 26th of February, and it's at the Mandurah Bowling Club, which is at 89 Allnut Street, Mandurah. And I'm sure you're going to remember the address, but it's Mandurah Bowling Club anyway. The doors open at 0800 for exhibitors and sellers, and you've got an hour to set up because at 9 o'clock, buyers will be let in. And the event is expected to run until about 12:30. The entry fee is $5 per person. The event will be subject to COVID regulations applicable at the time, so keep an eye on those. Check the club's website at parg.org.au. That's Parg Papa Alpha Romeo Golf, parg.org.au for updates. And if you want to reserve a table, email the club secretary. The address is parg.secretary@gmail.com. So it's parg.secretary@gmail.com. Now, if you forgot to write down the web or email addresses, or you couldn't find your pencil, nip on over to vk6.net and look at the club listings there, and you'll find a link to every club's website.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Well, there's a brand new contest announced during the week, and it's called the Australia Day Contest. Well, some people called it the AX Contest because on Australia Day we can use the AX prefix in place of the VK prefix. So that's a trial contest, and it's got a few quirks. The rules are derived from the Remembrance Day contest, so you can think of it as a summer RD contest. And it was cooked up by Alan VK4SN and Trent VK4TS. They must have got together over a beer or a wine or something and came up with the idea. So the contest starts at midnight on the 25th of January on the East Coast and extends until midnight on the West Coast. And of course, daylight saving applies on the East and never again on the West. So that makes it a 27-hour contest, so that's interesting. So dust off all your new fancy 2x1 call signs and be ready for a heap of different calls on the band. Remember, any VK prefix call can take AX on Australia Day, so those VJ and VL, etc. call signs that were issued as 2x1s don't seem to fit. And this concept will be repeated on Anzac Day, April 25th, so watch this space.
Other contests coming up in February are the CQ WPX Reti contest on the 12th and 13th of February, the ARRL DX CW contest on February the 19th and 20th, and on the same weekend is the Russian PSK contest. On the 25th to the 27th of February is the CQ WW single sideband contest on 160 metres. The first weekend in March is the ARRL DX single sideband contest. That should prove to be a busy weekend on the band. You can find website addresses for these contests on the VK4 Sierra November contest calendar on Alan's website, vk4sierranovember.com.
For Aussie contests and for some international contests, the go-to logging software for the average Joe is the VK Contest Logger, known as VKCL. This clever piece of software was developed by Mike VK3 Alpha Victor Victor, and we've just informed you of Mike's passing. However, over the years, this software has grown and seen some pretty slick improvements. First of all, though, as a contest logger, it does what it says on the tin. It's a tool for keeping your log live whilst doing the contest. And what's more, VK Contest Logger knows the contest rules, so it'll tell you if you're able to work a station or not. It keeps your score for you, so you can either feel smug or depressed about your progress. For larger contest stations, VKCL can be operated from several workstations simultaneously over a network, and you can give a name to each station. The software keeps track of which band each operating point is working, and also collates the scores, and the master log is stored in one of the computers on the net that is designated by you as the master. That's VK Contest Logger in a nutshell. However, it does lots more, but we've outlined the main bits for you. For many years, contest managers had to pore over paper logs, calculate the score, cross-check the claim contacts, and calculate the score for each log submitted. This was a huge task, and consequently the results of large contests took many months to be published. In developments over recent years, log checking has been automated, and logs are uploaded to a website, and some sort of magic happens where the logs are checked, cross-checked, and scores calculated, all untouched by human hands. Being a very untechnical person, for all I know, the logs are checked by a bunch of Oompa Loompas, but we can rest easy knowing that something happens and the results are published. Alan VK4SN, the owner and developer of the VK Log Checker website, recently announced that the VK Contest Logger log submission to the VK Log Checker site has been made easy. Mike VK3 Alpha Victor Victor kindly worked with Alan and his crew to have a submit button on the VK Contest Logger screen where you create your Cribrillo log. After your details have been entered and the log created, just click on submit. This will send your log directly to the VK Log Checker site, saving you the hassle of finding the log and manually submitting it. You can actually do this just before you close down your computers after completing a contest. Both you and the contest manager will get a copy of the submitted log, proving it was uploaded successfully. You can download the VK Contest Logger from Mike's website, mikenovemberdeltasierra.com.au, and that's mikenovemberdeltasierra.com.au/VKCL. Each time you prepare to enter a contest, you should check for a new version of your logging program because it gets updated regularly with enhancements, fixes, and contest rule changes. The latest version of VK Contest Logger is 4.15. Thanks to Mike VK3AVV, who's no longer with us, and Alan VK4SN, and their supporters for VK Contest Logger and VKLogChecker.com.
Australia has a rich history of amateur radio activity, in fact, more than 100 years of it. Western Australia has been in there right from the beginning, and next week's News West will share some of that history with you. Or you could share some more recent history with the rest of us. History isn't always about something that happened before our grandfathers were born. History is created as we live. Is there something that happened in amateur radio in your lifetime that you'd like to share with us? Your story will be well received by everyone. You can send your story as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Here's one for the CW operators. The CQ Worldwide CW Contest on 160 metres. Are you a dab hand at CW, or would you like to be? The objective of this contest is for amateurs around the world to contact other amateurs in as many US states, Canadian provinces and countries as possible, utilising the 160 metre band. And the part of the band in use for our region and region 2 is 1800 to 2000 kHz. All entrants are encouraged to spread out along the band as much as possible, obeying frequency restrictions and power limits for their own country. Any violations of the ITU band use may result in disqualification. Please be aware and considerate of other users of data modes such as FT8 in the contest band segments. There are rules about using remote receivers. However, these must be located within 100 kilometres of the main transmitter, and you need to read the rules to find out if your remote station meets the rules. Anyone found using a remote receiver outside of the limit will be subject to disqualification. And of course, there are more rules, as always, and these can be downloaded from the website www.cq160.com. www.cq160.com, or simply search for CQWW160 and you're sure to get a hit.
Greetings once again, listeners. This is Roy VK6X Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 9th of January 2022. Hope you're having a good year so far, so good. And today I have the following. Looking for a transceiver by Yaesu, an 857 Delta HF transceiver, 100 watt unit. If anyone is downsizing or disposing of one, we're looking for someone, one for someone here. You can contact Rod, VK6 Zulu India Mike. He's looking for one, and let him know what you've got there. He'll be very happy to hear from you, I'm sure. His email address, vk6zuluindiamike@gmail.com. vk6zuluindiamike@gmail.com. Thank you. Next, we have a antenna farm. It is a complete low-band DX antenna farm equipment for sale from Malcolm, VK6 Lima Charlie. You can contact him on 0474 106 881 from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. only at 0474 106 881 and cash and carry only, and bargain shack clearance prices January 2022. The antenna farm consists of 80-meter two-phase vertical array, operating bandwidth 500 kilohertz, $1,000, and there's also a 20-meter four-square vertical array, 300 kilohertz bandwidth, 2 kilowatt power rating, $600. We'll separate into 20-meter single vertical if required. Make an offer, and that address once again, or that phone number, 0474 106 881. It's 0474 106 881, or VK6 Lima Charlie. You may see all the details of the equipment on qrz.com. Next item for sale, we have a Kenwood Tango Sierra 430 Sierra with microphone and 12-volt power lead, asking $399. And there's also a Yaesu FT200 transceiver. There's two of them, in fact. Two FT200 transceivers, and one with a dark face, one with a silver face. No cables available. There is also one Yaesu FT200 power supply and speaker. No cables. Once again, all three units, $250. There's also a Kingsley type AR7 receiver, serial number 1796 XRAAF. And it's available for $250 firm. Contact Terry on SMS 0414 532 070. I'll say again, 0414 532 070. That's from Terry, VK6 Lima Tango Charlie. Well, that's all I have for you for today. Thank you once again for the contributors. Thank you once again for listening. This is VK6X-Ray Victor. My email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com for further correspondence. And thank you once again for listening. 7-3.
Before we go, thanks to everyone involved. The studio team was Mike and Roy, with Andrew lurking behind the coffee machine, and myself, Bob VK6POP, the News West producer. And to the broadcasters and callback collectors, thanks. And also thanks to those who maintain the repeaters that carry the news, WA Repeater Group and Southern Electronics Group. And if I've missed anyone, please tell me so that they can be included and acknowledged next time. There's lots happening on air lately with DX and tropo ducting, so don't waste any time. Stick around for callbacks, then get on air and make some noise.